same front page. In all capitals, their names exchanged. Words bleed and inks die. A name reads a face into an eye. A descendant of a duel and a maniac died together.
Hamilton Fish II was a descendant of one of the most prominent families in New York State. Hamilton Albert Fish was a psychopath and a most notorious child murderer. They died one day apart in 1936. A newspaper editor became obsessed with the coincidence of their shared names after publishing their obituaries on the front page. The Lives of Hamilton Fish is a cinematic rock opera inspired by that true story. Rachel Mason wrote, directed, and stars in the film, much of which is shot in the Hudson Valley. The film won Best Picture at the 2014 New England Underground Film Festival and will be presented this Saturday, March 14th, at the Hudson Opera House in Hudson, New York. Rachel Mason joins us now. Rachel, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Rachel will be performing songs live as the film is screened, and if you can't make it to Hudson this weekend, The Lives of Hamilton Fish is making its New York Festival premiere at the Museum of the Moving Image on March 20th as part of the Queens World Film Festival. And again, Rachel, thank you very much for being with us. Always great to have you here. So how did this project come about?
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. This project began when I accidentally stumbled on this newspaper article. I happened to be teaching at Sing Sing Prison. I was part of a volunteer art program called Rehabilitation for the Arts, and I was teaching art at Sing Sing and was curious about, you know, the various people who had been executed at the notorious electric chair, and I came across the name Hamilton Fish, which at the time I didn't realize was actually a very important New England name, and I simply was curious because he was the oldest person ever executed. So I looked up the date of his execution and sure enough found this front page of the Peekskill Evening Star from January 16th, 1936, listing his death. And as I was staring at this fascinating article, a column, I happened to see just my eye glanced over to the rest of the page, and on the exact same front page, another column listed Hamilton Fish, saying, Hamilton Fish dies of a famous family in the South. And I was just simply stunned to learn that another Hamilton Fish died on the exact same day, and he was indeed the more well-known to this area.
So at what point, then, does that say rock opera to you?
Well, I am not actually a historian. I'm not a documentary filmmaker. I'm an artist, and I'm also a songwriter. I play music in rock bands, and I just simply, it's sort of what I do. And the song kind of came to me, actually. The very first song that I wrote was called The Duel, originally, because the name Hamilton Fish begins with the name Alexander Hamilton. Alexander Hamilton was best friends with a man named Nicholas Fish, who was the administrator of the estate of Alexander Hamilton when he died and decided to name his first son, or one of his sons, in his honor. And that's how the name Hamilton Fish came to be. And I wrote that song after a chance encounter with the living Hamilton Fish, who at the time when I met him was the editor of The Nation magazine. And I had a wonderful meeting with him at his office in The Nation. And after meeting him, it was like history sort of came to life. I just somehow got this song in my head and I wrote it down. And it started the whole thing.
And the story you want to tell is this duel biography, really?
Well, the story ends up being a kind of look into what it means to be an editor, actually. And I had a very interesting back and forth recently with the editor of the New York Times that ran a piece about this film, saying to me after they ran the story, you know, how interesting it was that an editor at that time made this decision, or the question is whether or not he did make the decision. You know, I would love to know if, you know, anyone's listening and has any ties to the Peekskill Evening Star from 1936, you know, if an editor made that decision to run these two stories and what it means to have, you know, these kind of cosmic coincidences occur in the world, and also for somebody totally unrelated like me to suddenly discover it and become inspired. So I play the role of the editor in the film, and I basically allow the film to be a kind of fantasy into the mind of the editor who's trying to weave their two worlds together. And I actually take a big leap into the supernatural realm, strangely enough. It is a rock opera fantasy, and I do love science fiction and fantasy. So I employed a character named Lenora Piper, who actually was a real psychic medium of the time. And she plays an instrumental role in the film in the attempt to try to appeal to the afterworld and connect the two Hamilton Fish together.
Talk a little bit about shooting in this region, shooting in the Hudson Valley.
Oh, well, I would have to say that the Hudson Valley is practically a character for me in the film. It's so rich with history, and I'm actually from Los Angeles, so this, you know, I come from a place where the history is totally different, and I was enraptured when I started looking into, you know, I went to the graveyard where the Hamilton Fish family is buried, and the incredible names on the tombstones there. Also, the history of Sing Sing Prison is just incredibly fascinating, and there's so many historic homes that are still being preserved, like the Morris Jamel Mansion, although that's in the Bronx. Shooting in the region was actually a great pleasure because everybody was incredibly helpful. I found it to be just wonderful to shoot there. And I also find it to be a genuinely magical place where history really feels to me very much alive. And I would say that this film would never have occurred had I, you know, lived anywhere else. I was, you know, were able to make forays up to Garrison and, you know, the area where the actual events took place. I even shot a scene in Sing Sing, and in their hall, you know, and I feel the weight of history in every single scene when I watch the film myself.
You also shot in the Bronx and in Yonkers. Mm-hmm. The Morris Jamel Mansion plays a role. Mm-hmm. And as you say, you're not a historian, but you do have certainly great respect for these places.
Oh, I have such an appreciation. In fact, one of the locations, I'm glad you mentioned Yonkers, it's called Untermeyer Park, and everybody should, I mean, at some point, if you don't know about it, just Google it and try to go there. It's truly one of the most magical parks I've ever been to anywhere. I will say something really interesting is that the very first place I ever showed this film was actually as far away as you could get from the region. I showed the film at the Pineapple Underground Film Festival in Hong Kong, and they flew me out there to perform it because I performed the film live, and one of the first things I thought on the airplane as I'm flying to Hong Kong, you know, this is just the festival that accepted it and loved it, I thought, wow, I'm dying to know if any of this is going to resonate with people in Asia. You know, this is an incredibly particular region in America, and especially even within New York, it's a very specific place. And so what I love is that the very first place that ever saw this entire story, this film, was in Hong Kong, and people out there got to see the amazing locations in this part of the Hudson Valley. Mm. And before anyone else, before people in the Hudson Valley got to see it, I showed it out there, and they loved it, and it was a huge triumph for me to show the history and the beauty out there to another part of the world.
Certainly. I mean, here's a story of politics and crime converging in New York, which certainly we know nothing about here in New York. it's always so rare,
right,
that happens. But is a story certainly that resonates. Give the audience an understanding of how the evening unfolds, because it is there is a film aspect, but then there's that live aspect as well.
So the way that it works when I screen this live is I project the film behind me, and I walk out on stage in character. And all of the characters in the film have a very fantastical rock opera look. They all have a face paint that's very exaggerated, and I play the character in the film on stage and live in person. I wear the same costume, so it's a kind of like doubling. I've been told by people who've seen it that they felt like the film suddenly was in the room with them because it's a character from the film appears. I sing the songs live, so the film version that I project has the audio, the vocals removed. It's very strategically with a few kind of tricks that I do. And I sing the live audio in my voice. My voice comes through the room. So you have this very real, it's very much an opera in real space, but with the backtrack. And I also, the backtrack coming from the film. So I sync to the film. And I often am accompanied by live musicians. And for the next two shows, the one at the Museum of the Moving Image on the 20th and the one at Hudson Opera House on March 14th, this weekend, I am going to be accompanied by an incredible violinist named Jeffrey Young, and he plays along with the film. So it really becomes a concert. And the film should be considered in that way. It's a live concert as well as a film.
Well, it all sounds fascinating. How many times now have you, can you do this in your sleep yet, or are you still?
Yes, the songs have plagued me many
not
night.
That you do that, but just say if you had to, you could. Yeah.
Oh, yes. No, they
It's been around for, been with you for a while.
It has been with me for a very, very long time, just in development and then in performance. I've really begun in the last year just really, you know, carrying it out into the world in this way, and last couple years, actually, I should say. So,
when people are done, when the performance and the film are over, what kind of reaction do you get, and what is the discussion that takes place?
Oh, well, the discussion has been so incredible. I mean, especially in the region, I will say one of the greatest things to happen was when I showed it at the Albany Institute of Art. Somebody in the audience, a wonderful man, raised his hand and said, you know, I take issue with one historical fact, and he brought up the fact that his grandmother was Emily Mann, who is in my film, the wife of Hamilton Fish II, or I think it was his great-grandmother, and he said, you know, the way you tell the story about how she died isn't exactly right, and I thought, oh my God, you actually are a relative. This is so incredible, and it was the greatest thing to happen, and I called him afterwards. We had an incredible conversation, and you know, that's been really fun. I will say that the two actors in the film, Bill Whedon, who plays the killer, and Theodore Baloukas, who plays the politician, they have been along for the ride this whole time and have just been wonderful in the journey. And sometimes they come to the different shows, and people love meeting them. And Bill, I know, is going to be at the Hudson Opera House show. And, you know, they are both wonderful characters in real life. So, the audience reaction has always been just incredibly positive. I've been so overwhelmed, truthfully.
Rachel Mason's cinematic rock opera, The Wives of Hamilton Fish, will be presented at the Hudson Opera House in Hudson, New York, this Saturday at 7 p.m. HudsonOperaHouse.org for more information. If you can't make it to Hudson this weekend, The Wives of Hamilton Fish is making its New York Festival premiere at the Museum of the Moving Image on March 20th as part of the Queen's World Film Festival. The film's website is livesofhamiltonfish.com. And we, of course, have links to it all at wamc.org/roundtable. Rachel Mason, what a delight to speak with you. Thank you so much for being with us. Best of luck with your dates in our region and the work beyond. I really appreciate you coming
and
sharing.
Thank you. Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Around my voice, listen.